from whence this fear and unbelief. Had not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me, and will the righteous judge of man condemn me for that debt of sin, which, Lord, was charged on thee, which, Lord, was charged on thee. Complete atonement thou hast made, and to the utmost fathering paid all that thy people hold, nor can his wrath on take place if sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood if thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine, and then again at mine. Turn then my soul unto thy rest, the merits of thy great high priest have bought thy liberty. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God. Since Jesus died for thee, since Jesus died for thee.
Amen.
That hymn was written by Augustus Toplady. He also wrote the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Those famous words in that hymn, can God twice demand payment first at my surety's hand and then again at mine. Christ paid the debt, the sin debt of his people. And God will never demand payment twice. That's the wonderful thing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? To know that our sin debt is paid, and God is satisfied, and God will never pour out his wrath, his judgment upon those for whom Christ died. If you look with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read these first 10 verses of this chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. These 10 verses are packed. They're just packed with wonderful truths about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning we are only going to look at one of them. Two times in these verses, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Word of God, he inspired the Apostle Peter to write two times about a priesthood, a holy priesthood in verse 5, and a royal priesthood in verse 9. A holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. We all understand from the Old Testament that as soon as man, the first man, that is Adam, as soon as he disobeyed God, God being the God of all grace that he is, promised a deliverer, a savior, the seed of the woman. And in the Old Testament, this deliverer who was promised was prefigured by these three offices: prophet, priest, and king. Every one of these offices which prefigured, which were types of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, every man who served as a type in the Old Testament, he was called to that office, called of God to that office. God anointed, God made men prophets, God made men priests, God made men kings of Israel, all to be typical, to be types, to be pictures, to be shadows of the one mediator, the God-man, the glory man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The priest was appointed to represent the people before God. This is a way I learned many years ago now, the difference between a prophet and a priest. A prophet comes from God to me. He brings the message of God to me. The priest goes to God on my behalf. The priests were appointed to offer sacrifices and then to intercede with God on behalf of the people. So the essential, now our text concerns a priesthood. The essential work of a priest is that he is a mediator between God and men. Man in his fallen estate. And that's the way every man comes into this world. Whether people believe it, whether they deny it, whether they reject it, it makes no difference. This is the way everyone is born into this world. That is a fallen individual. Adam was a representative man, and by his sin, the guilt of his sin is imputed unto all of his descendants, which means every man, woman, boy, and girl. The fallen man, because of our sin, we cannot approach on our own to God. God is holy. God is thrice holy. God is represented in the Word of God as a fire, a flaming fire, picturing his holiness, his absolute holiness. And fallen man dare not, cannot, in himself, approach unto God. We need a mediator. We need one to go to God for us. The fact that man cannot approach unto God, let us remember, guilty man doesn't want to approach unto God. Guilty man does not want to approach unto God. Guilty man wants to run from God, to hide from God, just like Adam and Eve there in the garden. And until God, in His grace and mercy, does a work in the heart of His chosen people, men do not want to come to God. They don't want to know God. If you want to know God today, if you want to come to God today, that's a miracle of grace. The natural man, he not only does not understand the things of God, he has no interest in the things of God. No interest, because he's a fallen individual. We all came into the world the same way, guilty and fallen. And we needed a priest. We needed someone to go to God on our behalf, to mediate between God and us. Now, the priests in the Old Testament, in that old dispensation, they served in three ways. They in the tabernacle, they offered sacrifices unto God. That was part of their work, to offer a sacrifice unto God. And secondly, they taught the people the Word of God. And thirdly, the will of God was sought through the priest. Many times we read of David or other kings when they didn't know whether they should go out to battle or go this way or that way. They would call for a priest, and a priest with his ephod, he would discern the will of God for them. So a priest basically did those three things. He offered sacrifices unto God for the people. He taught the people the Word of God, the law of God, and he discerned the will of God for them. The men in that old dispensation, that old economy, who were prophets, priests, and kings, they were merely shadows, merely types of Him who was to come. But each and every one of these offices, the office of prophet, priest, and king, each and every one of these offices found their fulfillment in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these offices found their fulfillment in Him. As regards the priesthood, Christ alone, Christ alone is our priest. He is our only great high priest. He, by His one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Himself for our sins, put an end, finished, Elphine, to all sacrifices for sin. When He cried from the cross, "It is finished," that put an end. No more, never again would any sacrifice for sin be offered. And listen, anyone who denies that truth doesn't have a clue about the gospel. I mean, they do not have a clue as to what the gospel is. Anyone who denies that Christ put an end to all sacrifices for sins is a workmonger. That is, he or she would teach that men are saved not by the purpose, by the person and work of Jesus Christ, but rather by what we ourselves do, or someone, some other person does for us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, the apostle said, "But this man who's unlike any other man, this God-man, this man who is both God and man, by this man after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now that's just the truth. And anyone who denies that, anyone who would claim to be offering sacrifices for sin, even unbloody sacrifices for sin today, any church, any denomination, any group of people who would deny this truth, they do not know, they do not understand the gospel. Now, I have three truths. Thinking about this priesthood, I have three truths that I want to emphasize to all of us this morning. Very simple truths, and I pray God will bless each and every one of us, and we will grow in our learning, in our understanding of the things of God. First of all, the separate order of man as priest ended with the death of Christ. Now let me say that again. The separate, get that word separate, the separate order of man as priest ended at the cross. It ended with the death of Christ. All of those who are saved, we all have the same priest, and he's the only priest of God. You can search the New Testament epistles from Romans all the way through, and you will never find any minister of God referred to as a priest. You just will not find that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the apostle said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men." And then he lists these gifts. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is his church, his mystical body. Every one who is born again of the Spirit of God is a member of his body. And for the perfecting of his body, that tells us that we grow, we learn. We're not born full grown as newborn babes, as this verse tells us. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is his body, he gave these offices: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What you do not see in that list, priest. Priest. He did not give any priest for the perfecting of his body. And the reason is obvious. The reason is obvious. What was the primary work of a priest? To offer sacrifices for sin. There can never, ever be another sacrifice for sins.
That's right.
That would deny the work of Christ. That would deny that what he did satisfied God's justice. And God put his stamp of approval upon it when he raised him from the grave on the third day. There can never be another sacrifice for sins that would deny the work of Christ. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, now once, those Old Testament priests, they offered sacrifices every day. Every year, Day of Atonement, that went on and on and on from the time that God instituted that first economy, that old dispensation. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of Himself. He's put them away. He put them away. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away or beareth away the sins of the world. He bore them in His own body on the tree, the Apostle Peter tells us. And He took them away. He removed them so far as the east is from the west of His covenant people. Now you say, well, it's just a matter of a choice of words, whether you say pastor or priest. We have a priest at our church, or we have a No, it's much more than that, my friends. It's much more than just a choice of words. We're talking about a very all-important truth here. We don't have any priest as a separate order of men today. And to have them is a denial of the sufficiency of that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which He put away sins. To have a priest today, a separate order of priests today, is to deny the finished work of Christ. The New Testament church, we have bishops. That's just another word for a pastor. We have bishops. It's not a hierarchy like some pastors, and then the next level are bishops, and the next level are a little higher level, and then cardinals, and finally the... No. In the New Testament church, we have bishops, we have elders, and we have pastors, and these are three words which all refer to the same office. As a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm an elder, and I'm a bishop. I've never used that title before, but I'm telling you what the scriptures teach. There's no difference. Bishop, pastor, elder, all refer to the same office. And we have deacons. And deacons are servants, just like pastors are servants. Paul said, we are your servants for Christ's sake. And pastors and deacons both are servants of His church. What an honor. What a privilege. But what a responsibility to be a pastor, to be a deacon in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second point I want to emphasize is the universal of all believers, the universal priesthood, I want to say, the universal priesthood of all believers began with Christ's death. Just as a separate order of men as priests ended with Christ's death, so the universal priesthood of all believers began with Christ's death. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle John said, unto Him, that is Christ, unto Him that loved us, love lifted me. We sang that hymn, didn't we? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love, John wrote. When we hear that, our hearts should leap within us that God is love. And God's love caused Him, moved Him to send His only begotten Son into this world to be our Savior. And His love, the love of the eternal Son of God, unto Him that loved us, you, me, every one of us. Can you believe that? That God loved us, that Christ loved us, such an unlovely person that I am. And yet he loved us. He loved us and loosed us or washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests. There it is. Priest unto God, unto his God and Father. It was by his death, by his blood, that he loosed us from our sins. Our sins had us bound, but he set us free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's the only one who can make a sinner free. He's the only one, thank God, that he came to loose us from our sins and make us a kingdom of priests unto God. If you notice in our text here in 1 Peter, he declares who is in this priesthood. This is important. I said the universal priesthood of all believers began with the death of Christ. Who are made priests? Well, look back in chapter 1, verse 2. God's elect. God's elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. All the elect are made priests. Notice the second thing. Those who are born again, begotten in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten. That means we've been born again. And if you look down in verse 23, we've been being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Who are made priests? The elect of God, those who are born of the Spirit of God. And notice also in verse 5, those who are kept by the power of God. He keeps us, doesn't he? We couldn't keep ourselves a minute. But we are in his hands. We're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one can pluck us out of his hand. We're kept by the power of God. And then, if you notice in the verse we read, in verse 2 of chapter 2, newborn babes. Newborn babes. Just as soon as a person is born again of the Spirit of God, he's a priest. She's a priest. The universal priesthood of all believers. Newborn babes. I was thinking about John that wrote that word I mentioned in Revelation, unto him that loved us. What did he? He had been a fisherman. I know he was an apostle when he wrote that, but he had been a fisherman. Fishermen are made priests. Carpenters are made priests. Mechanics are made priests. Everyone that God saves becomes a priest as newborn babes. Just as soon as a person is born again of the Spirit of God, he's a priest. She's a priest unto God. Just as in Romans we read that he has made us to be saints. Every believer, every child of God is a saint. People are not saints or made saints after they die, and so many hundreds of years later, somebody proves that someone prayed to them. We don't pray to dead people to begin with. We pray to God. We don't pray to the saints. We don't pray to the Virgin Mary. We pray to God, our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. People are not made saints after they've died. People are made saints while they are alive, when they're saved. You were made a saint when God saved you. And at the same time that you became a saint, you became a priest unto God. Now, the third point is this. The ministry of all believers, as our text tells us, who are a holy and a royal priesthood. In the letter of Hebrews, the apostle tells us that in that old dispensation, that old economy, that the priest offered gifts and sacrifices. None of us are high priests. There's only one great high priest. We understand that. But all believers are priests, and all believers, our ministry as priest is to offer gifts and sacrifices. Now, we don't offer sacrifices for sins, right? We don't do that. We don't even approach to do that. But every child of God is a priest, and every child of God, as a priest, offers gifts and sacrifices unto God. What are these sacrifices? Well, let's look at them. There's three of them. First, I want you to look to Hebrews. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. The apostle names two of them here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here's the first sacrifice that we as priests unto God are to offer. And that is the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, the apostle says, giving thanks to his name. In John chapter 15, when our Lord spoke about himself as the vine and his people as branches, he said this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." That you bear much fruit. And here we are told, the fruit of our lips. This is a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And look at that word, through him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continue, or by him, rather, not through him, but by him. This verse alone shows us that as God's children, yes, all of our sins are forgiven. They're all taken away. But yet we are still in this world, and we have a fallen nature, and we commit sin. We're not perfect. We're perfect before God, justified in his sight, but we know that we still have that old man who lives with us, and so we're not perfect. And even our praise, the sacrifice of praise, it must be offered by him. By him. Any work, any service, any praise that we offer for that to be accepted of God must come through Christ. Must come through him. He takes even our prayers and he perfumes them. And no doubt cleanses them and offers them unto the Father. And even when we praise him, you see, as I said, we're not without sin, are we? No matter what we do, if it's preaching, praying, singing, praising, because we're doing it, there's still sin mixed in. And for God to accept it, it must come through him. Must be by him. Someone said this about faith, you know. Well, my faith, I just don't believe like I want to believe. Of course you don't. You don't have perfect faith. You have doubts. You have questions. Sure you do. Why? Because your faith is not perfect. The same thing about our love. We love Christ, don't we? And we say that today. We love Him who first loved us. But yet, our love is so flimsy, so needy. We need Christ. And even in our praise, to praise Him, to bless His wonderful name. We sing that doxology sometime. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all ye creatures here below. Praise Him, ye heavenly host above. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise continually, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. He doesn't change. Let's not forget to praise Him. We're priests. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise. Then look at the next verse, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, we offer the sacrifice of communicating. That word, of course, today pretty much just means talking with someone or texting someone or something like that. But here, to communicate here means to give, to share with those that have need, to support the ministry of the gospel, to support missionaries and pastors and those who proclaim the gospel. This is a sacrifice, we're told. To do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget. And God's well pleased with these sacrifices. He's well pleased, as one writer says, because it shows a right state of heart. When we're wanting to communicate and to give to others and share with others who have need. And it shows that we're like Him. We're like God, who continually gives. He's a giving God, isn't He? He's a giving God. And every good and every perfect gift comes down from Him, the Father of lights. Every good gift that we have, and we have so many, don't we? Where'd that come from? It came from Him. And every perfect gift, and there's only one perfect gift, that's Christ. Amen. Came from Him. And there's one other verse. I want you to turn to Romans. One other sacrifice that we are to offer as priests unto God. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And notice again, acceptable unto God. Acceptable unto God, how? Through Jesus Christ. Only through Him. We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. The watchword for every one of us should be like the Apostle Paul. When he met the Lord, when the Lord revealed Himself to Saul of Tarsus that day on the road to Damascus, remember the first words after the Lord revealed Himself to Saul was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What would you have me to do? In what way may I serve thee? Surely God has a way for each and every one of us to serve Him. Not everyone will serve Him by being a missionary. Not everyone will serve Him by being a pastor. I tell you, you ladies who have babies and children to raise. Why, you're serving the Lord in your home, teaching those children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No greater service than that. Out on your job, men, witness, testify of Christ. If people see a difference in your life somehow, and you're able to tell them the difference is, I've been with Christ. I know him whom to know is life eternal. May the Lord bless the word to all of us. Let's sing.